Top Sport pagrindinis Kauno Žalgirio rėmėjas. Top Sport kazino, kortų lošimai, stalo lošimai, kauliukų lošimai, lošimo automatai, lažybos. Nesaikingas lošimas gali sukelti priklausomybę.
Įsivaizduokit, atėjo pietų metas, jūs pasidarėt kavos, turit laisvą minutėlę ir norėtumėt pasižiūrėti vakarykščių rungtynių statistiką ir pasiklausyti žalgiriečių komentarų. Bet turime problemėlę ir jums nieko neišeina padaryti, nes tinklo administratorius blokuoja jūsų prieigą. Su mūsų draugų NordVPN programėle tokių problemų niekada neturėsite. Prisijunkite ir naršykite internete nevaržomai. Tad paskubėkit įsigyti NordVPN, nes dabar 2 metų planui net 70% nuolaida ir dar papildomai 4 mėnesiai su kodu ZALGIRIS. Tik veskit didžiosiam raidėm.
Sveiki visi Žalgirio sirgaliai, dar vienas Pick and Pot Talks epizodas ir tikriausiai jūs dabar galvojate, kur dingo tas senas, geras mūsų parinktas setas, kurį buvome sukūrę specialiai mūsų laidoms. Neišsigaskit, viskas tvarko, jis dar grįžti, tiesiog esame viešbutyje, kur apsistoja prie Olimpiakos krepšininkai ir čia esame kartu su manimi, Tautvydu Saboniu ir gana pažįstamu veidu Lietuvoje, Ignu Brazdeikiu. Labas, Ignai.
How you guys doing?
We're doing just great. Now we made this guy a podcaster. So how
Love
about
it.
That?
Yeah, I mean, he suits the role perfectly. I think that, you know, out of the clips that I've seen, he's made me laugh a few times, which is quite surprising, but he's doing a great job.
I'll take that.
Okay. Kad geriau reikštume savo mintis, turėtume gilius pokalbius, mes šitą pokalbį įrašysime anglų kalbą, neišsigaskite, yra subtitrai, va, kur mano pirštas juda, ten galit paspausti ir įsijungsite lietuviškus subtitrus, o mes važiuojam toliau and we can roll. And I want to start this conversation with one thought that Tautvydas Sabonis mentioned in the earlier podcast that we did with Keenan Evans. Mm-hmm. I might throw him under the bus just a bit. He said about your celebrations that you might be flexing in front of the mirror your celebrations. Yeah. Just before the games, you imagine those winning moments, those good shots, and you just flex it. You're just preparing, rehearsing. Is that true, Iggy?
I mean, right before games, I don't do that. But is there those moments of visualization where I'm in front of the mirror listening to music and just, you know, practicing some things? There have been those moments because you need to be ready to celebrate the right way.
Fair enough.
Out of your head, Tutis, can you remember some of his celebrations?
I mean, the threes, this one was his favorite. Yeah. Coach G every time,
Big
every time he scored, yeah. Coach G's already, I'm just waiting for you to look at him and yeah. You got it, Coach G's like, yeah.
That was my man right there.
Are we missing out some of the celebrations?
No, that's about it. I mean, I like the, you know, like Tootie showed that low 3-point celebration where you kind of run across the court like that, the too little. One of my favorites, you know, and then just the classic flexing and screaming and whatnot. So
the only biggest problem is when he was with us last year, I needed a dunk in your face proper. He got a couple solid ones, guys.
Flybys,
but never the, and then you can flex.
Close.
Hopefully there's no tomorrow either. So.
Yeah.
I mean, Kate's probably going to be ready for you. So.
Extra motivation for me.
Now, we're in the different camps, Žalgiris and Olympiakos, but both teams have something in common before this game. They both won cups in Lithuania and in Greece. How was the celebration party? Then we can go on talk about how did Žalgiris celebrate. So how was Olympiakos celebrating the title?
Yeah, it was quite great. Didn't know what to expect. Obviously, first time being here. Locker room, we celebrate on the court for quite a while.
All right.
We were out there for like 30 minutes to an hour, you know, just taking pictures, celebrating with the fans. Once we got into the locker room, took a couple of pictures, you know, scream shouted a few times. And then afterwards, you know, it was a good time as well. We got busy a little
because
bit.
Because you guys played, where was the cup?
It was in Crete.
Yeah.
In Crete. So they had a good little, you know, bar scene where we were up on a stage kind of just having a good time, listening to some music, dancing, you know. But it was cool because the whole organization was a part of it, from coaching staff to, you know, other members as well. So it was just cool. It was kind of like a, you know, family environment.
That's cool.
What Iggy said, does his description matches what Žalgiris experienced this year in terms of celebration?
I mean, our celebrations, everybody knows, are
are good.
So, you know, I'm not going to get into too much details, but it was good. It was good.
You guys beat Pau in the final. That's always a must for every Olympiacos player and fan when you're facing your strongest rivalry. Can you compare it somehow to what you have experienced here in Lithuania when you you had Rytas in the LKL finals? You didn't have Rytas in KMT final, but you know about the rivalry here in Lithuania.
The funny thing is, like, you know, here, green versus red, and now you're red versus green.
You switched the colors, man.
You switched the colors.
It is crazy.
I gotta say, you do look better in green, but that's just my opinion.
I appreciate that. Definitely a strange feeling for sure, being the opposite kind of color. But the rivalry here that Žalgiris and Rytas has is super impressive. Like, playing away at their gym is extremely tough. I didn't expect it to be like that. I know you guys would talk about it, be ready to play there. But I didn't expect the environment to be that hostile. But this rivalry here is a little bit different. Like, there is some real hatred and some... you know, real feud in this rivalry, and it's a lot of fun to play in it. It's extremely competitive, and when you win those games, the fans kind of just go crazy with, you know, they have like flares, you know, waiting for us at the hotel before the games. At the hotel, they're screaming, chanting. So it's definitely something I've never been a part of.
Can I just throw one quick question? What's your favorite teammate this year? Yeah, there's
right as soon as my teammates walk right in front. Yeah, I hate all of them. I hate all of them. I'm kidding. Favorite team? I can't point out one. It's
no,
tough.
It's okay. I was busting your ball.
That's a good one.
We can go back to
that.
You gotta use the scenario. It just came up.
You have to adapt.
Smart play. Yeah, but I like everybody. I think you know, Shaq did a great job of just kind of bringing me in and making me feel comfortable, especially because you know how the whole thing went down, where once I knew I was going to Oli, I just jumped on their team bus, and I don't think a lot of them knew I was going to be playing with them, so that was just a little bit awkward. But you know, Shaq kind of made me feel a little bit more comfortable, and everybody else was great on the team.
Wait, when the news broke out about you possibly going to Olympiacos, we were in Cyprus, and Shaq wasn't playing at that time. Also, he was injured, dealing with injury. Yeah, so he had time to warm you up.
Yeah, I guess so. And he did a great job of that. So it was definitely a interesting time for sure. And I still remember those moments of leaving and whatnot. And it was definitely emotional for sure.
Yeah, I wanted to ask about it. I wanted to ask you both about it. What was your thought process at that point when you realized there's a possibility of going there? And when the plans about going there fulfilled to the whole point. So what was your thought process at that point?
Yeah, man, that's a good question. There was a lot going through my head because I had such a great year with Žalgiris, and I feel like I learned from the coaching staff so much. And, you know, both on and off the court, there were so many different things. But, you know, when, you know, a team like that kind of comes into the picture, and you just don't know if that opportunity will always be there. And, you know, I think it kind of made sense for both sides in a way. And, yeah, I just wanted, you know, you want to play on the biggest stage and the biggest platform. So it was a tough decision, but I'm happy with where I'm at.
This is when you wiped off the tears of Iggy leaving. What did you think? What did you write to him? Maybe you tease him just a little bit that he's going to be a red right now, going from green to red. So
well, the worst part is I lost my neighbor, man.
Yeah.
That was the worst part. But no, I mean, it was sad. It's a business. He took the decision that he thought that's better for him. It's, you know, he moved on. We moved on, you know. And, you know, you don't look back. But well, every time, you know, you never know what this season would have been with him, you know. And, and what his growth would have been here, or what his growth is there. But, you know, it's all good, and then we're happy for him, you know. Hopefully tomorrow he doesn't play good, and, you know, but, you know, I'm going to be on the sideline, you know, trash-talking a little, but we'll see. But, you know, some decisions come, and some contracts and some offers are on the table that some teams you can't say no to, and I guess this was one of those for him, and you know, it is what it is.
It's really nice to hear that you like me as a neighbor, because there was almost every day where you had something to complain about.
Man, there was noise, there was basketball like bouncing. I remember I was like,
garbage.
Oh my God, the garbage. Like, I couldn't throw up the garbage, man.
Why?
Like, he has his own bin. You have your own bin. Everybody in any world, you have a bin, and on a certain day of the week, you take the bin and you put it so the garbage man can take it.
Yes.
He wouldn't take
That's
it out.
That's usual, yeah.
He wouldn't take it out. I'm like,
I didn't know which bin was mine. It wasn't labeled.
Look at your phone. I sent them.
Let's get this record straight. Did you used to throw the bags in his bin?
Yes, for sure. 100%. 100%.
Because the issue was I would leave too many bags in my place, and yeah, I wouldn't be able to fit all the garbages in my
bin. You were generating too many trash.
Exactly.
Like, imagine if what he's saying, if anyone's smart here, how much garbage he had to have in his house to fill his garbage, my garbage, and he still had garbage.
It was all about because of the takeouts, yeah.
Probably.
Yeah.
Casa that had a lot to do with
and
it.
All this, like,
shoes,
like,
too. But yeah. I had a stack of shoes that just
all right. I remember boxes. we made one joint podcast back in the day, and Tutis was telling a story about him preparing food for Iggy. Was it a one-time thing that you prepared?
Prepared for you. I don't remember. I think I did maybe some pasta.
You did. I had soup when I was sick. That came so clutch. Yeah. But I think it was
Pao. It was my wife.
All right.
That was amazing.
I remember when Jasmine made us dinner.
Yes, schnitzel.
Yes, very good. Yep.
So it was extra care from this side, and you still chose
amazing.
Greece.
Ah, man.
We know why. I mean, there's one element up in the sky that helps choose Greece over Lithuanian fortune.
Okay. I forgot one question. Well, we skipped through the topics, but I saw one of the interviews that you made already coming to Greece. You talked about nicknames, and you talked about having one nickname that was given someone from the Žalgiris coaching staff, and I imagine it was this guy, and the nickname was Red Rocket.
Yeah.
Didn't.
This is true. Yeah. I mean, it didn't take him long to.
Yeah, Red Rocket. The only thing is, like, I wish there was more moments where he could dunk it like aggressively, so you know, you see that Red Rocket fly and bam with the left or the right or the two-handed.
It would be
the Valencia one, the Valencia dunk, and I do like the playoffs against Cerritos in transition.
Well, that was
one
nice.
That was good. Yeah. The whole setup, the angle of the camera was good.
It would be him and TC that would tease me about that nickname because they knew it bothered me, but then I just embraced it eventually.
All right. Since we're walking down the memory lane, I want to come to go back to the last year. You carried a lot of load on your legs, on your shoulders, because in 2022, you joined the national team. You played World Cup qualifiers. You played preparation games. You played in the Eurobasket. Then all the season with Žalgiris. Then you joined the national team once again for the Eurobasket. We're talking about the load that NBA players carry, and you know about it since you played the NBA. Can you say that with the national team coming in the picture, players here in Europe also carry maybe not the same load, but they're catching up to what NBA players experience on the other side of the Atlantic?
I personally believe that the load here is a lot tougher than it is in the NBA.
All right.
Just basing that off of the practices that we have, which are extremely competitive all the time. Games are extremely competitive, whether that's local league or Euro league.
You can have the days off. Yeah.
Yeah. You got to always play hard. And it's like those 40 minutes that you play, it is shorter games, but you play extremely hard in it. And like you said, with national team as well, it takes so much time away from the off season. So you get about, if you play on the national team, you probably get about a month off. You know, a year, which is not a lot. And like I said, the practices are intense. Games are intense, you know. Whereas in the NBA, they do a great job of recovery and, you know, not pushing you during practices and kind of having they're more focused on recovery because of their schedule. Yeah. But I think the load in Europe is tougher.
I like how he's very politically correct. It's not, you know, and Ed's like, we don't practice. We didn't ever practice. The difference between Ed and Iggy, we didn't practice. We didn't practice.
Can you add something to this topic? Because your brother plays in the NBA. You see from the first hand when he experienced, you know, what's all about the EuroLeague like. So,
I mean, it's different. There's a lot of back-to-backs also in the NBA, you know, so that regardless is tough. And what Iggy said here is 40, there's 48 minutes. Obviously, what I get from Domas is, you know, he's a star player, so the treatment for him is different than other guys. But I do agree with Iggy that the competition, the intensity, the level, the concentration, the mental toughness that comes with playing in the EuroLeague than in the NBA, where there's a lot of games that, you know, guys maybe take off or whatever, whatever the case may be. You know, I'm not judging here at all, but I understand that a lot of coaches here expect a lot, and the preparation for each game is at least I believe it's a little more than the NBA. But I can't say because I haven't been, so I don't want to, you know.
Mm-hmm. But from what both of you just said, the bottom line is you cannot take the games as day offs during the season, because every game matters. You're like in EuroLeague, like maybe domestic league sometimes, but still, if you lose some surprise game, you can lose something, and then it might play out at the end of the season as a bad outcome.
With a coach like Tudor, you can't even have a practice off. So
I mean, always watching, always guarding.
Oh my goodness!
No, now that you brought it up, I still remember. I don't know. Keenan once said it. I don't know who was asking this year, and then when we were doing the 90 shooting, and that time that everybody has to shoot threes. Well, now he's got to shoot his pull-up too. I'm like, Iggy, shoot threes. I don't want to shoot threes. I'm warming up. I'm like, Iggy, shoot threes.
And
there was a little back and forth there. That was hilarious.
Yeah. Good time. I was cold, man. I just needed a couple of twos to like shoot threes.
During that World Cup, you had an injury versus Latvia, that very last game of the tournament. How did that follow you up to the start of the season? How did it mix your plans of good going into the season?
I think that, you know, after the championship, I came back to Žalgiris because, you know, I didn't know about Olympiakos yet, and they did a great job of rehabbing that leg. And shout out to Justas and the rest of the team for you know, I could go down the line, but they did a great job of just kind of, you know, recovering that knee. And then once, you know, I kind of made that move to Oli, practices began, and, you know, that load started to pick up, but the knee was doing fine. And then it was actually my left knee after the first Milan game that, you know, I caused an injury on it, and that kind of progressed, and the pain stayed for a little bit, so... I would definitely say that the, you know, injury affected me for sure physically, but at this point now, I would say these last few weeks I've been healthy and feeling good. So, you know, you got to take care of your body. It's a big thing.
You've been starting a couple of games lately, like four in a row. Yeah, Tutu, you can correct me if I'm wrong. You've been preparing for Olympics.
So I hope I'm on the scout.
Yeah. Can we say that?
Oh, you don't want to see my scout. I'm kidding.
Can we say that, like, only right now you are fully and 100% ready to show your best fulfillment and to play the bigger load of the minutes in this part of the season?
I mean, I always feel that way, but now I think physically I'm kind of catching up.
Like, no obstacles in the way.
Yeah. I think now I'm starting to really get there, and I'm kind of, you know, taking a more serious approach to my body and, you know, taking it more seriously, because I do feel little pains here and there. So now it's just important to get in early. But yeah, I feel like now physically and I'm kind of in the green now, so I'm ready to go for sure.
Let's talk about another topic, Coach Bartsokas, a new coach in your career. In Europe, you didn't have a lot of coaches. I'm not asking about the comparisons between the coaches, but what it's like to play for a coach like Bartsokas, the EuroLeague champion with Olympiakos back in the day, with the man who made the title game, but sadly Olympiakos lost that to Madrid, but still a coach that saw a lot of elite basketball in his career.
Yeah, I mean, he's great. The intensity that he brings to games is like no other. You know, you got to be 100% ready to go at all times, and if not, he'll call you out on it and he'll notice. But his mind for the game is definitely extremely high level, and you can tell just the way that he reads the game, sees the game, and kind of sets up tactics, you know, towards certain games. He's a great coach, and I'm really happy to be learning from him and you know, seeing how his mind works with the game, and I think that's, you know, going to push me to become a much better player.
Can we say that in terms of the game plan, he is stricter in terms of following the details during the game and in terms of putting the player in the role?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, he definitely, I mean, the entire coaching staff does a great job with the scouting report and just preparing us for games and seeing what different teams are bringing tactically. But I would say the biggest thing is just, you know, the mental side of it and just kind of preparing us to go to war, essentially, in these big games. So, you know, they're right out there fighting with us. So we definitely feel that as a team.
Is it hard to scout Olympiacos? You've been doing that for a couple of seasons right now.
Yeah, I mean, very, very. I really like watching Olympiacos. I think they play a very team-orientated basketball, which I can understand for you. It gets a little harder because your game in general is a lot of one-on-one, mismatch situations, especially when teams are. So, you know, I know that in his system, there's two dribbles pass, a lot of closeouts, you know, so. Hard to scout, I wouldn't say, but the detail, like you mentioned, the style that he wants to implement, it's important for him. Every guy has to go through it, and it's not easy for some players, but once they do, they click. And you mentioned it before, the last year, almost a perfect season.
Yeah.
One possession
well,
shot.
One shot away, yeah.
So, crazy. You know, it's, when you think about it, so, you know, all the respect towards coach and his staff, you know, and obviously they lost two big pieces this year. They got a different kind of roster, but they're playing great. Right now, they're playing great basketball.
So, appreciate that, too.
The team.
Yeah.
I have one more.
17, I don't know.
One more question for you. How do you like how they adapted to play without Vezinkov and Slukas, such a big pieces like you just mentioned?
I mean, that's what I'm saying. Like, a lot of the years was very similar because the team group was the same in some ways, you know, and without those guys, he added new things to adapt to the strengths of his players. But again, it takes time to get to adjust. And at this point where you want around March, start rolling, though, you know, even Iggy says his body's feeling good. So every coach, every team wants to get around March, start getting that good feeling. And like I said, they're playing good basketball right now.
Since it's learning experience.
Sorry, you guys.
Yeah.
Thank you. See, I was waiting for that. I was like, one, two, like,
yeah,
where's our...
Yeah.
We're crazy, man.
You guys are playing at a high level.
Since it's been a learning experience for you to play for a new coach, as I can imagine, to play for the new club, new organization, was there a moment at the beginning when you started that process, when you came back home after the practice or after the game, when you felt... I don't like basketball anymore. Basketball is not that fun anymore. Was there a moment like this?
To be honest, I kind of knew what I was getting myself into.
Yeah. But one thing is to know, another one is to experience.
Yeah, no, that's true. That's true. I mean, there were definitely days where I'm like, here we go again. You know, I got to start over from the beginning, you know, similar to how it was here last year for me, just going through those ups and downs, and you know those downs are tough, but you just try to stay level with it. One thing in Athens in Greece that is amazing is the weather.
Yeah, weather helps. Yeah,
you're beside the ocean, you know, there's a lot of cool things to see, so it kind of gives you a different perspective, and you know, there's more to life than just basketball. But there's times where, you know, you're definitely just focused and you just want to be the best version of yourself. So,
I mean, guys, like coming from where you come to play and then going for a coach like this, you know, it's growing pains. You got to go ups and downs, like you said, and you'll get there. It depends on how hard you work and how hard you listen. Listening is the harder part for you. The working, you work.
I appreciate that.
You mentioned Shaq, Shaquille McKissick, like in a way getting you under his wing, showing you around surroundings and so on. And from what I saw watching before the game, Olympiacos guys like Thomas Walker making gestures, Yanolis Larenzakis, another cool dude from this team. Mm-hmm. It seems that you joined another cool bunch of guys in your career. So how does the locker room look from your perspective, Olympiacos perspective?
Good question. I mean, it is. It's a lot of fun. There's definitely a lot of personalities on this team. But, you know, me coming a little bit late into the season and these group of guys already being together for so long, I just kind of wanted to observe and just kind of integrate myself into the team slowly, but yeah. It's a lot of fun being with a bunch of guys with high energy. You know, you could talk your shit a little bit, you know, which is my favorite part. But just
do
joking.
You back the shit up though?
Always, man. Come yeah. on, come on. There's always substance.
There's really easy. I can send a message to see if that happens. I don't know. There's a lot of good players on that team.
Oh,
right?
For sure. For
so
sure.
So you probably
hey, who's
losing?
Who's the biggest trash talker on your team right now?
Oh, that's a good question.
Biggest trash talker.
Yeah, I'm probably yeah. Cannon probably.
Top three. Rank those. Top three. Yeah.
I would say in game, it's got to be Isaiah. Because, you know, okay. His celebrations, like, he's going to yeah. celebrate every time he has
the,
a bucket.
The one with Unix in Barcelona.
Yeah. Then he got the payback.
Yeah, everybody knows that one, you know. You got to.
Who else? Is there any sleeper guys that kind of.
What about the Greek guys?
Oh, Laren Zakas, are we kidding? He talks a lot of shit. So
he has nickname Cobra, yeah?
Yeah, Cobra, and he's definitely one of the most confident players right. I've ever been all around, right. for all sure. Right. So he's definitely got that attitude.
That's coming
on.
From you? That's big.
No, it's true, and I respect that about him.
All right. Any other sleepers that we might...
How many sleepers do you want?
I want to know Olympiakos Berry. No,
I would say, I think Tom can get under people's skin. Yeah. You know what I mean? He's just
but
that
Tom,
type
not
of.
Talking, but Tom
he won't talk,
yeah,
but he'll give you a little elbow here and there. It'll be physical.
He's been
with
elbowing
you, so.
Against Valencia a lot. Like, yeah. Yeah? Don't remember.
Did he get a yeah, he got something
yeah,
right
yeah at the beginning of the game yeah all right
oh I do remember that actually yeah he did that twice
yeah
he was just showing his power his
all right
power
since dominant. We're yeah. since we're running out of time we are kind of limited because it's like a game's eve one evening before the game so we have to say a big thank you for you Iggy we hope that you won't be playing good tomorrow. When this podcast will be out, it will be after the game, so we will know if we were correct or not. I don't know.
Time will tell, brother. That's all I can say.
I don't want you to be looking at me. I'm going to be staring you down. I'm going to be.
Yeah, I can't
So, thank you for joining us. Thank you, man.
Thank you, guys. Really nice being on this podcast again.
That was awesome.